welcome to the Don and Wynn Show. And that's after our great farting intro. And my name is Lynn Free, and my co-host Don Newsome is off today visiting his mom, I believe. So if they're listening, we're going to say hello to Hildy and Doug and Don. And I just found out like 2 minutes ago that Don wasn't here. So I quickly invited Daphne to come on and co-host with me. We have no idea what we're going to do, but it'll probably be interesting. Daphne, you want to say hello?
Hello there.
Hello, you're going to say?
Hello. I said hello there.
Well, okay. For those of you that are new to the Don and Wynn Show or listening that haven't listened before, Daphne has been my close associate, so to speak, on and off for the past 5 years. Now it's kind of on and working. And she, when we met, she started channeling, and voices started coming through her. So I don't know, we may do some of that tonight. The voices, okay, I guess I should reiterate this just for the people that listen to the Don and Wynn Show. So we bring them up to speed on Wynn and Daphne. And essentially, I was writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Casey, and I was 2 years into it, and I was writing it kind of from a scholarly point of view, and it presents this voice that was speaking through David Wilcock that was identifying itself as a group soul matrix that was an oversoul, so to speak, for our planet, and was working very closely to help evolve humankind. And they were made up of graduates of this realm, souls that had gone through the physical and no longer needed to reincarnate, and now they acted as a helper for those planets or those populations that were still stuck here, like us. Now, as I was writing the book, I wasn't sure of all I could believe all of that. There was no way I could validate it. And then 2 years into it, I met Daphne, and we were taking a drive, and it started to rain. And I said, so does anybody want to talk to me after I did a little prayer? And she answered and started channeling on the spot. So this has been somewhat of a roller coaster ride now for the past 6 years. That includes miracles, communications with another group soul that says they're the Elohim, or identifies themselves as the Elohim. And if you look up the word Elohim, you find out that Elohim is the word used for God in the Old Testament. It's the name of the angels, or the name for God in the Mormon religion, and who was speaking to Joseph Smith. And so we've asked many, many questions to this voice, and they seem to be able to hold up against scrutiny, and maybe they are who they say they are, the actual creator of this realm. And so this could be an interesting session here. Daphne, do you think we're talking to the Elohim, the creator god of this realm?
Well, if you'd asked me that 4 years ago, I would have said, I'm not sure. And if you'd asked me that 2 years ago, I'd say, probably. And if you ask me that now, I'd say, highly likely. So it's been an ongoing kind of examination and looking at the information that we're gathering and the experiences of other people that are hearing this information and the kinds of things that are coming about as a result of sharing it. So it's been interesting, to say the least. But not something that came all at once. It, you know, we've had to evaluate it over time. And it's pretty out there stuff. So, it's going to disturb people's, you know, waking reality systems, including mine. and not only disturb them, but can often cause havoc in them too. So it's not without its challenges. But that doesn't mean that there aren't very positive things that come out as well.
Hey, what put you over the top that made you think, made you think that we're really talking to the Elohim?
Are you asking if there's one specific experience?
Yeah.
Let me think for a second. Well, I know that when we did, I think we did a call in 2005 where the Council of 12 came in. And I just remember feeling the potency of that transmission and the energy that accompanied it. And it didn't really make any sense that I would be making it up. And people certainly weren't responding energetically as if it was made up. I mean, the energy held its own. And and then there was just a kind of a concordance of things that were happening in my own life where things that were, I call them my regular 3D kind of anchor points, and the things that were holding me into a 3D matrix and keeping my levels of satisfaction there, they were all evaporating slowly. And then last year, my father got very sick, and he had cancer, and he passed away fairly quickly, within 5 months. And I think that he held for me a paradigm of, you know, protection and stability in 3D that maybe a lot of people's parents hold for them. But my father was an entrepreneur. He was a very successful businessman, and he was very anchored. And I guess he created a hologram for myself and the rest of my family within which to operate, in which 3D felt safe. And when he died, my ability to hold it together in 3D evaporated almost immediately. And I've only been looking at this kind of, you know, objectively in the last few weeks since we've been spending time here in Arizona. But, something has fundamentally changed since then. And I know, or I think I know, that it has to do with the fact that I'm no longer anchored to traditional 3D reality systems. And that, I guess, can be a blessing in some ways, but on a physical level, it can be very challenging. And it accompanies various physical stuff, too. You know, some channels go through this and some don't. I know, for example, that Carla Ruckert, who is the mistress of the raw material, who came in the early 80s, went through some very, very serious health problems as a result of bringing that energy in. And Jane Roberts was another one. And there are probably other people that don't go through it, so it depends on the person. So I guess the culmination of it, the upshot of it, is that things are not as they were, and they're different as they were. And there's nothing that exists in 3D that I found that has any semblance of resemblance to what we're experiencing now. So we must be creating something outside of 3D. Maybe it's been created before, but maybe it's ancient, maybe it's been lost. And some of the interesting information that's been coming to us, even last night in a transmission, was that this new hologram that we're attempting to stabilize isn't yet anchored to the grids of the Earth. And the Earth herself is going through an acceleration process, so her grids are unstable. So it's kind of like moving a whole table full of food, and the soup is already in the bowls, and the meal is already in the table, and you're trying to move it without making an absolute mess and breaking up dishes. I don't know if that's a good analogy, but that's what came to mind.
So, you know, if we are talking to the Elohim, if we are, then once I figured that out, once I said I think they are who they say they are, I got a certain sense of responsibility about it, where I said, geez, this is important. This is not, people don't know what's going on, and here we're talking to this this voice that is demonstrating amazing abilities, being able to, I mean, those of you who read my story, and if you're listening tonight and you haven't read my story, I hope you'll go to the website, higher-vision.org, and then click on conversationswithmygirlfriend.com, and it tells the story of what was happening to me in 2003. And at the time it was happening, I didn't even put anybody's name up there. I felt like I didn't know how people would respond to make a claim like that. So I just left everyone anonymous, so it's, you can read it and draw your own conclusions. And then, of course, Daphne was channeling this voice, and then my friend Terry started channeling the voice that said they were the same Elohim, and they've kind of gone back and forth, and they've kept in touch with me quite regularly. And in addition to the Elohim, we ended up having quite a few other sources talking, like Ra, or Mother Mary came through, or who else? Archangel Michael, Council of Twelve. And I happen to be kind of scientifically inclined, so I asked many, many questions, trying to understand how they operated from where they were at, not just, say, taking for granted that I had this huge source that I was supposed to genuflect, is that the word?
Genuflection is usually prayer.
The common vernacular would be, am I supposed to kiss their ass? If they're that who they are. And I wasn't sure how to relate to it. They just said, ask us questions. And so I said, well, if they are who they say they are, let me ask questions that only someone who created this universe could answer. And they started doing a pretty good job of answering those kinds of questions, and I couldn't imagine someone making it up, or some even a source on the other side making it up, because it all hung together too well. Did you notice that on Terry's channeling?
When she was talking about the origins of the universe?
Well, how they created things,
yeah.
and spinning, and how prayer worked, and all that stuff, you know? So, I think for me, when I asked that series of questions to Terry, and got those answers, I started to say, hey, man, I think they really are who they say they are.
And also knowing Terry, I don't know her extremely well, but well enough to know that those aren't the kinds of things that she would normally come up with in her own logic and mind. She doesn't speak like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have this questions and answers with the Elohim, which we give out for free right now, which I think is going to be my next book. I have it sitting next to me, and this is actually channeled by Terry. And I'll give you an example of the kind of ways they answer some questions. There's a whole chapter on it, on creation. Now, in some of the questions, they talked about how the universe was created by overlaying matrices, and it was all very precisely and finely tuned through geometry and mathematics, or what some people call sacred geometry. And so I asked him the question that led into a whole series of questions. I'll just read a little bit about this. I hope some of you will request this. If you'd like a copy, an e-book of this, just send an email to win@higher-vision.org, or you'll find a contact email for me on BBS Radio. But yeah, the Elohim projects into this realm through geometry and mathematics. This is me asking the question. Can you explain the way it works so it might be possible to visualize the geometry and the mathematics that the Elohim uses to focus energy into this realm? Now, while I'm reading this, I should tell you, when I read their words, they tell me they have coded themselves into the words so that as I read their words, some of you may get an experience of that energy actually present in your space. So pay attention to the energy in your space, and you may find it shifting. And that may be them beaming in, because that's the way they explain they do it. They're outside of time, and they can beam into this realm. And they don't want to be considered God in the way that religion would consider God. They are a group matrix, and the way it was originally described is that at the beginning of the universe, there was just one energy that subdivided and subdivided. And the original energies at the beginning of the creation of this universe, the original subdivisions, would have been the Elohim. And then they were just experimenting and having fun. Not like thinking they're going to create something and be gods of it, but just we're learning about how they could work energy and things would happen. And then we're the end result of that. So here was a series of questions and answers on that. And I asked them, could they explain the way it works so we could visualize the geometry and the mathematics? In reality, there is no time and space. In reality, there is only the one. By formulating and introducing into place by intention geometric anchor points, thereby we create a structure. Not yet a physical structure, but a loose holographic structure. Question, when? Would a holographic structure be composed of what we call etheric energy? Elohim, etheric energy would occupy that structure and would be anchored by binding of the energy into the structure, resulting in form, which will become the form of an entity who has chosen to occupy or make use of it. This is created by the use of sacred geometry, and it provides an avenue for life to express itself through. When? Is there a geometric form that each life form is connected to between the third dimension and the one? We're in third dimension. Of course, one is where no time is. Is it one geometric form or multiple? Elohim. There are multiple geometric forms, but there are basic building blocks. The basic building blocks for life forms are tetrahedrons and octagons. The geometric forms actually secure and originate a location which before the introduction of the geometric structures, there was no location. These forms are a precursor to matter. When? How is mathematics involved in all of this? Elohim. The mathematical computations are far beyond the mind of the channel. She at this time is seeing patterns that we are exhibiting that are similar to the patterns of the person who took the picture saw. These could be called the whoop and wharf of the physical universe. The whoop and wharf are precursors to life and love. Would they be formulated in a proper relationship causing structure, they would exhibit life. The mathematical formulas are a language unto themselves. It is a language of relationships, and the mathematical formulas calculating the relationships of the pyramids that are formed on the outside of the superimposed geometric intention housing structures, which ultimately lead to a physical universe. Listen, if you guys got lost right there, so did I. So, I think they know what they're talking about, and probably I need, would have to ask more questions to clarify that. In any case, I go on and ask questions like this, where they go on and on telling me how they spin things and interlocking holograms and how it connects with quantum mechanics. And on some level, it all made sense. And then I would ask questions that I wanted to say, well, what do people want to know if they could talk to the creative force in this realm? And so I started asking questions that I thought people would find of benefit. And so I asked things like, well, let me see here. What's a good one? How can an individual have some kind of personal experience that they're really having a connection with an interdimensional source such as the Elohim? What are the physical signals and evidence that would confirm they're having a connection? Okay, Elohim, here's their answer. There can be a light appearing to the individual surrounding... Now, let me just... This is me interrupting. As I read this, I want you to imagine that it's happening in your space, because I can feel them paying attention right now. And they're paying attention to our listeners, and they want to make a connection. They want to make a connection. And if you just pay very close attention to the subtle energy around your space, you may feel a shift in that space. You may feel a shift in your chakras. So here was their answer. There can be a light appearing to the individual, surrounding and providing a loving space around the individual. It's a love light surrounding the individual, which the individual can sense. That is one of the first signs of connection. Secondly, if a person is directed to the light, an answer may form, as if a thought in the seeker or asker. One must use discernment in accepting an answer. If an answer does not fit your question or fit your recognition of what is right, you may have been contacted by a negative source which has intercepted the connection line. Do not ever pursue this, but reset and connect to the Elohim source or the Ra source. The thought will have a resonance within you of correctness. When? Why does a negative source, what does a negative source have to gain in answering a question? What is their agenda? There are as many agendas as there are negative sources. A negative agenda will fit the purpose of the negative source, and the agenda is personalized according to the source. The difference between a negative source and the Elohim is that the Elohim wish to be co-creators, and the negative source wishes to imbue the subject with its purposes and agendas. He wishes for the recipient to become a subject of his particular web of effects and consequences. The Elohim is a loving connection and is open to a two-way street of communication. The Elohim wishes to serve, wishes to have a companion with the purposes of both the Elohim and the recipient fulfilled. The Elohim considers the desires and wishes of the recipient, provided they are not self-serving. The negative source wishes to imbue the subject to their will. So this is a real interesting look at things. It's like this is this energy that's outside of this dimension that throughout our history is one of the sources that we've thought of as God. And they want to be our companion. They exist and they want to connect with you energetically. And that it's possible to feel their presence energetically and hold them with you. If you can, it's like being a radio station. and tuning into their frequency. Now, it seems that I seem to be able to tune into their frequency, but I'm not a good channel. So when I'm around Daphne, she tunes into the frequency with me, and she's a really good channel, and so they can speak through her. Is that a way of describing it, I think?
Well, I don't think I'd agree with the fact that you're not a good channel, because you receive some extraordinary raw messages in your semi-waking state. So I'm not sure that... I think you are... Actually, I would say that Terry and you and I all receive messages in slightly different ways. And the information that we come through is very... it aligns with each other. The information is all very consistent for the most part. I mean, there are some variations. But I think that the way that the frequencies interface with my consciousness, the way that they interface with Terry's consciousness, and the way they interface with your consciousness, because we're all different, it's of necessity going to be different, and it comes through differently. Like, you know, different instruments and orchestra, but each has its value and its place. And so you really can't compare them in terms of, you know, one is better than another. They're just, they have different qualities. They have different characteristics. And so, I guess...
Now, we've had conversations, both with souls, both the Elohim and Ra. And the Elohim is the group soul outside of the genomic into it. And the Ra group soul is made up of graduates of this room. And how do they describe themselves?
Well, the information that has been brought to you by me, and I think also by Terry, although don't quote me on that one, is that the Elohim describe themselves as celestial architects, and the image that comes to mind is of kind of ivory tower professors and or composers, and something, an intelligence that... doesn't really have to deal with the confines of physicality. So they can be as expansive and as perfect in their imaginings of creation as they can want to be. The Ra group, and they also emanate from the top down, a kind of a top-down kind of thing. The Ra group seems to be the polar opposite. They describe themselves as builders, celestial builders. So they give form to the celestial blueprint of the Elohim. Now, they know what it's like to try to build in the density of 3D. And 3D is very dense, from what I understand and have read about the celestial realms and the various possible venues in which to create out there in the cosmos. And especially here on Earth, because it's a mixed bag. We don't have just one frequency or one kind of solidified, you know, agenda or race or communing a group of individuals that are going towards one goal. We have a multitude of races, a multitude of languages, a multitude of religions, of societal customs, religious customs. And as we know from looking at, you know, brief human history that's recorded, most of it's been pretty nasty. I mean, a lot of killing and fighting and territory vying and just some pretty hard stuff. So, you know, it's kind of a challenging pot down here. It's a kind of mixed pot. And that they say, so the sources have said, through myself and through Terry and through other well-known channels, that this is... What's special about planet Earth is that this is a free will system. And that is not supposedly a usual thing in terms of consciousness or evolutionary development on a planetary system. This is unusual. And because it's unusual, it has the possibility of some outcomes that could be extraordinary, which I think they're hoping for. When I say they, I mean the higher celestial realm. That are aiding and abetting human consciousness development. But the downside is that the numbers of people who are willing and ready and able to grasp this material and integrate it into their consciousness and be ready and prepared for this dimensional shift, which is around the corner, is probably a much smaller number than they had hoped for. In fact, they've said this. And that doesn't mean that the numbers can't change. It just means that it's a steep climb. And
It seems like one of the things I'm understanding is that people can, what it is there's a frequency of the energy coming into this realm. And that the work we're doing, and others like us, is we're learning how to hold these frequencies in space so that when we do something, like on a conference call, kind of other people get it by osmosis. It's kind of like somebody's got the radio tuned and you can listen to that and you get the same frequency, and then it rubs off and you learn how to tune.
Right, well, you become a human tuning fork.
You don't need, the first time you need it, you need someone to start sending the frequency out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of, we've been doing these conference calls quite regularly, and part of the thing of the conference calls is to let people tune into the frequencies, because the frequencies are on the conference call. The frequencies are in the books and in their words. And so there's an extraordinary opportunity here for those who are listening to take seriously. Please email me and get a copy of Questions and Answers with the Elohim, because there's a guidance system in that to tune into their frequency. If anyone's listening wants to call up and ask a question, we may be able to do, let me see, I'm not going to, 642, we have about 15 minutes, and I'm not going to do a channeling while you're there, but you can ask the question, and we get one or two questions. We'll actually do a channeling and ask your question and get an answer here. Now, I'm not going to say whether it'll be the Elohim or the Rock that would answer that question, but the phone number is for VBS is 888-228-4494 or 877-489-6350. And give us a call and come up with a question. And also, I'll do a little promotion here for our Monday night conference call, which is at 6 p.m. And oftentimes, Daphne is on it, or Terry's on it, all three of us are on it. And oftentimes, we've had channelings right on the call. So if you're taking any of this seriously, please join us and see if we get something out of it. Because what's happening is we're having a multi-dimensional communication. And it's interesting that I've been learning that this actually works. It took me a while to believe it was working. But I could be talking on the phone, and you could be listening on your internet. And simultaneously, these group souls that are outside of time could be paying attention to you, wherever you are in the world, just because you're on the line right now. And as usual, the phone is ringing off the hook. What an opportunity I'm giving you guys. Come on. Is somebody going to take me up on it? Seth, are you listening? Seth is our engineer. Okay, well, you know, the thing about it is that people think that when you're talking to these huge, huge sources, these prototype archetypes of the universe, that you're really lucky, because, you know, they'll just tell you what to do and everything will work out fine. And actually, that's nothing to be further from the truth. Because if they told you what to do, they wouldn't be who they are, because that's not how they operate. Telling you what to do would violate your free will. One of the aspects of all of us in this realm is that we're here to grow. We're here to expand. We're here to open up to the more celestial laws of the universe, experience them and live them. And you are a divine being in a physical body. And anyone that would take that away from you, that would water you around and turn you into a slave, which there are very many beings that are very happy to do that, and have done that for many people, but anyone that would do that is not either of these two soul groups. That's not the elephant group or the yaw group. And because they operate by free will. And if you think about it, if you consider yourself an evolved human being, let's suppose you have friends and children. It's far more fun when everyone is choosing in each moment to be involved rather than having some force laid on top of them that they're required to have a certain kind of involvement. And, you know, the best kind of relationships, the most ones that have the most energy, are ones where everyone has free will. There's no force and manipulation or agendas. But people keep deciding to be together because they enjoy each other. Any relationship that's less than that starts to lose energy, starts to lose joy, and starts to become a chore and an obligation. And these group souls' energies do not want chores and obligations. They want to help us, but they want you to be choosing it in your own space. I can hear somebody sing out there, okay, work with me. Well, the first step in having them work with you is to feel an energy in your space. So let's see if I can just invoke that right now. That just take a deep breath, be quiet, shut your eyes, and imagine that there's a space in the center, trillions of miles away from the physical. And that space is emanating energy. It's traveling all through the universe and through your body and into the center of the earth. And as we're doing this, we just ask that the energy that people experience is limited to what is comfortable and safe for them to experience. And as you experience this energy, if you hear my voice, you can imagine that I'm experiencing the same energy as you are. For a moment, we have met at a level of co-creation outside of this dimension, and that we can actually request those group souls to join us in this level of co-creation. I should say, one of the things is that it's easier for them to tap into a group than it is to an individual. We have more visibility because we are a group right now. Daphne, myself, and everyone, they can tap into us because we've expanded ourselves with our group energy. Let me say, if you ever try to do this for yourself, please invoke things like for the highest good of all concerned, only positive service to other beings to penetrate this field. Because once you expand your matrix, you're exposing yourself to not only the positive sources, but other sources. And if you don't make stipulations like that, you could end up having a negative force field. We don't want that. So only for the highest good, only positive service to other sources. And then many of you are feeling that now. And you know, while you're feeling that, this is a good moment to send that energy. That's actually a love energy. People you care about. Ask for help, support, and healing. Right there. Think of their name. Put it in that light. This is an example of what we do every Monday from 6 to 7 on DBS Radio, on my conference line. And I do hope you'll join us on that and participate in this learning how to feel, experience these energies and these beings in other realms. Well, we have 3 minutes left. And we didn't do channeling. We'll have to come Monday. And maybe we'll do more Monday night on the BBS Winfrey conference tonight. If Don and Hildy and Doug are listening, we send them all out. And we will close the show today with a calling in of the light. Before I go on the light, Daphne, do you want to
There's presence, but I think maybe it would be better to wait until it's different.
Yeah. They are present. They're watching. Paying attention. That is them in space. If you're sensitive enough to feel it, that's them. Is that the Elohim, man?
I'm feeling the Elohim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been talking about them a lot, reading that book, so they're coming in space. So, we'll just formalize, we'll call in the light at the end of the Don and Wynn show. We'll do that now. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround, protect each person here. And any negativity, they take him to the higher realm and transmute it to the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies, the center of the earth. And those who voluntarily choose to participate, we now invoke a group energy with all those who are listening to the show tonight. And as we make that group energy, feel the tingling of your body, feel the space around change. Some of you are feeling the heart chakras opened up. Some of you are feeling your crown chakra, the third eyes are opening up. And we invite the Elohim to join our group energy. All those positive service to other sources, join with us. And to open your space, open the space in your home. Send that energy through your home, through your neighborhood. Through your city. And as you walk through your life tomorrow and the rest of tonight, think of holding that and radiating into your field so that everyone can come in contact with it, can feel it. And that no matter what the level of 3D reality you have, you can be above it. And you can move into it from a place of being above it and holding it higher than the 3D as you walk through it. And it's at 6:56. It's time to close the show. I thank Doug for being our engineer. I thank Daphne for being my co-host tonight. And we wish you all blessings until the next time.
I love you.
This is Bill Tiller of Tiller.org. You're listening to BBSRadio.com. Don't forget to tune in to The Infinite Consciousness with Eva Herr every Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Enjoy.
Would you like to know the real secret? I'm not talking about the new movie or book. I'm talking about you. You are the biggest secret in your life. Your secret could unlock your highest potential and fulfill all your dreams. What is that secret? The knowledge of who you are. This is Robert Lee Camp, author of The Cards of Your Destiny and Love Cards. I am the host of a new show here on BBSRadio.com called Mr. Destiny. You can listen in or join in any Monday night at 7:30 Pacific or 10:30 Eastern on the Late Night section. Come on the show, tell me your birthday, and I will reveal some of your secrets. Maybe ones that can open up the doors for new possibilities for you and your life. Your birthday is the key to your destiny. I invite you to come explore your destiny with me and find out what the Book of Destiny has to say about you. Hope to see you then.